Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Our radio broadcast today is entitled Trusting God and will come from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. We've been recently studying through the book of 1 Timothy together at Flint River Primitive Baptist Church. You can find all of these messages on our church Facebook page in the form of our live stream and also on the YouTube channel for marchtozion.com. And we would encourage you to make use of as many of the resources as you need from Flint River Primitive Baptist Church and also marchtozion.com. This past Sunday, our message was on this verse, 1 Timothy 4:10, looking specifically at the concept of trusting God. And I believe that that would be a beneficial subject for all of our listeners to hear and to encourage you in the concept of trusting God in our day-to-day lives. 1 Timothy 4:10 reads, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." And we know that God has a people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, but they're all one in Christ. That tells us that there's great diversity in the family of God. He's the Savior of all types of men, but He's especially the Savior of believers. There's one category of man among all the categories of men that stands out, that's notable for Christ being their Savior, and that is the believer, because unless a person's born again, he cannot believe. And if a person's born again, then Jesus is their Savior. And so we have a great assurance of our deliverance when we are believers. We know that God has an innumerable host of people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue that are His children, but it is the believer that is notable for this. And so Paul says that we labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, it's this phrase that we trust in the living God that we want to consider with you on the broadcast today. I don't have to involve much imagination. I don't have to speculate a whole lot to know that many in the radio audience today and many who listen to us online are going through things in their life that are stressful, things in their life that they would rather not have to go through. Some people may be dealing with illnesses that have entered into their life that are scary, things that they don't know how they're going to handle. Some of you may be dealing with family or work controversies, perhaps the loss of a loved one, the loss of employment, some sort of difficulty. If I were to take a survey of everyone listening, as it is with our congregation, as it is with most people that I know, every single one of us has something that could stress us out, something that we're fighting, something that we're facing. And if you're not, then praise God, you're in the calm between the storms. You're in the eye of the hurricane, because this world is a cursed world. It is what old preachers would call the low ground of sin and sorrow. It's a place that is full of suffering. Job said that man's days are few and full of trouble. And certainly we know that to be the case. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of time, a curse passed upon this planet and upon all mankind. We now labor by the sweat of our face. From the dust we've been taken, and unto dust shall we return. This world is full of thorns and thistles because of the transgression of Adam. And so we know that all of us, yourself, myself, my family, your neighbor's family, anyone in your church family, we all have issues that we're facing. And they're different issues, but they're issues nonetheless. And sometimes we might face some that are a little more challenging than at other times, but we all have issues that are real, that are serious, that should be taken seriously. And in those moments, we need to remember that our God is a God whom we can trust, and He's a God that we should trust. We should have total confidence that He will see us through all of these trials, regardless of how severe the trial and regardless of the outcome. God is with His people. Now, notice this passage: "For therefore we labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God." Trusting in God doesn't mean that God will take all of our afflictions away. This doesn't mean that God will take all of our trials away. No. Paul said that because he trusted in God, he suffered reproach. This means that his trust in God caused him to labor in the gospel in such a way that he would receive persecution, and he would find himself traveling and impoverished, sometimes without food, sometimes without clothing, sometimes without good water to drink. He at times was incarcerated, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was stoned and left for dead, he was shipwrecked on a number of occasions. Paul suffered much, and he suffered this reproach not because God wasn't trustworthy, but because he trusted in God. If anyone ever tells you that if you have great faith, you will have a prosperous life and nothing bad will ever happen to you, that person is selling you snake oil. They're lying to you. They may be sincere in their lie, but what they're saying is simply not true. Paul was a man that labored more abundantly than they all. He was a man of great faith, and yet he was also a man of much struggle. You can read 2 Corinthians and the perils that the Apostle Paul experienced, and just see the different types of ways that Paul often suffered. He was in fastings often. He was hungry. He wasn't wealthy. He was a very poor man who devoted his life to the service of God, and God used him in glorious ways. Paul had an amazing ministry, but to the world and to the flesh, well, it wasn't a ministry that looked impressive. He was not wealthy because of what he taught. In fact, quite the contrary, he was poor, and many times he suffered. Well, he suffered reproach, not because he didn't trust enough in God, as some people might say, but he suffered reproach because he trusted in God. He trusted in God that whatever happened to him, God would stand with him. And even if he suffered for the name of Christ, he trusted that God would be glorified in that, as Paul was found worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. He trusted that he was partaking in Christ's suffering, as Peter refers to it in his writings, that we partake in the sufferings of Christ. Paul trusted that even if he were a martyr, even if he were put to death for his faith in Christ, that he was more than a conqueror through Christ who loved him, and that even though this world might present unto us all the sufferings that Romans chapter 8, for instance, might mention, nakedness, peril, sword, tribulation, persecutions, that none of these things can take us from our Savior who loves us. We are secure in Him. And so Paul looks at his life and the sufferings of this world in such a way that he sees the end in view. He sees that God didn't send his son into the world to die for us, that we would be delivered from all suffering in this world, but that we would be delivered from God's wrath into a wonderful paradise as a joint heir with Jesus in the world to come. And with that end in view, Paul labored and he suffered and he walked with Christ in this life. But notice that he says that he has this great trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that, he suffers even reproach in the name of God. Scripture is full of normal people who demonstrated a great trust in God. And I think that it would be very hard to separate the concept of trust and the concept of faith in Scripture. One of the definitions of the word faith is trust. We have this faith, this trust, born in our souls by the Holy Spirit at the moment of regeneration. We have this seed of faith planted within us. We know God, and as we know from Hebrews chapter 8, every single heir of promise will know him from the least to the greatest. When you read in the Bible of these great heroes of the faith, maybe you turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and you read of all of these great people who overcame and were victorious by their faith. You're reading of people who trusted God. Regardless of what circumstance they were facing, they trusted God. And because of that, their faith did not diminish, their faith was not weak, and they triumphed in this world. Now, it again is not something that's many times impressive to the world around us. It isn't the sort of triumphing where you win all of your battles and you're never persecuted, you never suffer affliction, you never have cancers. No, that's not what we're talking about. When we talk about triumphing, we're talking about winning victories of faith. We're talking about honoring God and glorifying God and fulfilling his will for us in our lives. We're not talking about being healthy and wealthy. We're talking about being spiritually strong and spiritually mature and discerning. We read of Abel who offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. You know Abel trusted in God. You have the account of Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11 that was translated that he should not see death by faith. And certainly Enoch trusted in God as he walked with God. We read of Noah. Don't you know that Noah had to have a great faith? This man who is told by God that it will yet be 120 years and God would send a flood into the earth. So build this vessel, build this boat to the deliverance of the animals of this world and of your family. And Noah, as it says in Hebrews 11, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. We read of Abraham, and certainly Abraham was a man who trusted God. He walked with him as a pilgrim and a stranger, a sojourner in a strange land. Certainly Abraham trusted God. I could go on through this list. You have one person after another who did amazing things by faith because they trusted God. They believed the promise of God. I dare say that a lack of trust in our own hearts and minds concerning the promises of God or the character of God, what God will do for us in our lives, a lack of trust is tantamount to unbelief. We cannot be believing and at the same time not trusting in God. To trust in God is to believe his promises and to believe that he is, to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we trust God, we trust in God, we trust in his decisions, we trust in his wise counsel, we trust in his word, we trust in his providence, we trust that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he's our parent, that he's our father, that he is our king, and we trust his word, we trust his promises, we trust that he will provide, we trust that he will keep the word that he has promised. We are to trust in God at all times. To walk by faith and not by sight requires great trust in God, his person, his nature, and also his promises. If you were to ask what book of the Bible says more about trusting in God than any other book of the Bible, I would probably direct you to the Psalms. The book of Psalms is an extremely experimental book, and the word experimental is a theological term that relates to human experience. When we speak about our day-to-day lives and our victories and our defeats and our struggles and our sin issues and our mortification of those sin issues and the great blessings that God gives us now in our daily lives, We have reference to the experimental or experiential realm, things that occur in our own individual lives. The book of Psalms is experimental. We have the experiences of mainly David, but many of these psalmists who live lives of struggle and victory and uncertainty, and we see their hearts being poured out before us in the Word of God. So many things that we read in the book of Psalms express the great trust that disciples of God all the way back in the Old Testament had. Sharing with you just a few of these psalms, Psalm 20 and verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Some people trust in the military might of their nation. Certainly we, as the world's superpower, America, we have great confidence in our military, but we should understand that there is one greater than our military. There is one greater than any military. There is one who commands the army of heaven and works his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" And that is God in glory. Some trust in horses and chariots. Today, some trust in tanks and in aircraft carriers and in fighter jets and bombers and armies, navies, air forces. But we trust in God. We trust above every other thing in God. We should not place our trust in anything in this world. Our trust is to be in God. Psalm 56 and verse 11, David writes, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me." If you notice the subheading in this psalm, Psalm 56, you know that David writes this as the Philistines took him in Gath. And so David writes this in a time of great uncertainty. You and I might be thinking in a time of uncertainty when we are indeed suffering that God might have forsaken us or that God has left us. Perhaps our faith, our trust diminishes. But notice what David says. Look at verse 3. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." What is to be the response of the child of God in moments of fear? When I'm afraid, David said, I will trust in thee. When we are afraid, the response should be to trust in God. Notice some of the language in this. "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemy would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High." David says there are many people who are oppressing me, many enemies. "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God," the people that would oppress David. David prays that God would intervene if it so be his will. And no matter what we're experiencing in this world, as we pray for deliverance, as David is praying for deliverance here, we should always pray, "If it be thy will, O God." And so his prayer is to cast them down. "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Notice the poetic language of that. My tears are caught in a bottle. That's symbolically telling us that God knows every single shed tear of every single child of God in this world. He knows what you're going through. He knows your experiences. He knows your pain. He knows your suffering. David asks, "Are they not in thy book? Do you not have a record of all the tears, the worries, the sufferings that I've experienced in this world?" And the answer to that is absolutely, God knows. "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." Beloved, you have the promise that God is for you. And through Romans chapter 8, Paul asks this question, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Even if we are counted as sheep for the slaughter, as David was many times in his life, as you and I are many times in our lives, God is still for us. And even though it might not at all times be his will to deliver us from the cancer, or deliver us from the heart attack, or deliver us from the stroke, or deliver us from the invading enemy military even, we know that God is for us if we are his children. And if he be for us, who can be against us? In death, the very worst thing we can experience in this world, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. David says, "For God is with me. God is for me. In God will I praise his word, and the Lord will I praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? In other words, God, if you'll only preserve my life, if you deliver me from my enemies, I will continue to walk before you as your servant. I'll continue to praise you. If you deliver me, I'll glorify you, and then I'll use the time that you give me after deliverance to continue to serve you and to bring you glory. David was a man who lived to serve God, and in living to serve God in his moments of affliction, trusted God in all of those afflictions. Psalm 118 and verse 8, as well as Psalm 146 and verse 3, tells us that we should not place our trust in princes or men. This means that the solution to our problems are not going to be political. Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And he uses the word man as the general term for the race of human beings, not in men. In other words, some men, but man as in all mankind. It's better to trust God than it is to trust mankind. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You can read this psalm on your own time, but suffice it to say, while we should be very thankful that we have a representative republic here in the United States and we can appoint our leaders, we are not to put our trust in princes. The solutions to our problems in America are going to be found at the feet of King Jesus and not in the accomplishments and achievements of political figures. Psalm 146:3, put not your trust in princes. Now, over in Psalm 118, it's better to put your trust in God. Here in Psalm 146, he's explicit. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help, which has reference to any human being, any male that's born into the world. Several men in Scripture are referred to as the Son of Man, and that's why Jesus took that title upon himself, because it conveys his humanity. In other words, don't put your trust in humanity. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. In other words, men are frail, they are temporary, they are powerless, they are fickle. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Who is going to be happy? It's going to be the person that trusts in God. Now, as we begin to bring our broadcast today to a close, we want to focus on why we trust God. Why can you trust God? Number one, we trust God because he is unchanging. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God is trustworthy because God is immutable. This is a doctrine, the immutability of God, that teaches his unchanging nature. Immutable means unable to change. To mutate means to change. God is immutable. He doesn't change. And because of that, we can trust him. Could you trust the word of someone who is always changing what they say depending on who they're around? Well, no, you couldn't trust their word. Can you trust the words of a talebearer, someone who says things that are not true? No, you can't trust the words of a talebearer. God is a God of purpose. God is a God of bedrock, solid gravity. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change what he desires for us. God is, for lack of a better word, consistent. He is steadfast. He is unmovable. He is the Lord. He's the rock that is higher than I. We trust him because he's unchanging. And if it's his will, then there is no changing it. And we trust him because of that. There is safety and security as we trust this unchanging, immovable, immutable God. Now, as we consider the fact that he's unchanging and why we trust him because of that, think of the nature of God. To bolster your trust in him, he is holy. He is good. There's never going to be a day when God suddenly decides that he is pleased with mischief and decides to torture and torment his creatures for the sake of the pleasure of messing with them, as we see commonly depicted in the false religions of this world. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, that's what Hebrews chapter 13 says about our Lord Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God hates murder today, he hated it yesterday, and he'll hate it tomorrow. If God hates immorality of any sort today, then he hated it yesterday, and he hates it tomorrow. If God is pleased with something today, then God was pleased with it yesterday, and he'll be pleased with it tomorrow. And because of that immutability, I am the Lord, I change not, as we read in Malachi 3, we can trust him. We can trust his word. He means what he says. His yea is yea, and his nay is nay. Number two, we trust in God because God is all wise. God is a wise God. In fact, Paul would say that he is the only wise God multiple times in his epistles. God is wise. His wisdom is perfect. The things that he would have us to do are right. His word is true. His word is right. And all of his will is conceived in his wisdom, and is glorious, and is beneficial, and is good, and is holy. We trust in him because he is wise. Number three, we trust in God because he loves us as a parent. Now, this is an amazing thought. God is the king of creation. He is the Lord omnipotent. He rules this universe. He is the capital L-O-R-D, Lord. He is our master. But at the same time, Scripture presents God as our Father, if we belong to him. And so, as a father loves his son, and as a father loves his daughter, if he's a good father, he unconditionally loves his children, and that is the love that God has for us. This is a never-ending love. Jeremiah says that God has loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness has he drawn us. God loves us. He draws us to himself. He chooses us and causes us to approach unto him, as David said in the Psalms. And because he loves us with this parental love, we can trust him the way a little child trusts in a good parent. And number four, we trust in God because he promises us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, he might not spare us from all the trials of this life. It isn't his will to spare us from all the trials of this life. We know that this world will throw many hurdles at us, many persecutions, many trials, and it isn't God's will to save us from all of those. Why? Well, we glorify him when we share in his suffering, and when the enemy counts us worthy as a target, when we're found worthy to suffer for the name of Christ, we're to be happy because the enemy has so counted us in such a way that he would afflict us. God may not spare us from trials, but through it all, God is with us. He walks with us. He strengthens us. He guides us. In helping people who've experienced great tragedy and great calamity in their personal lives, one of the things that I always try to tell them, you never get over some things, but by God's grace, you get through them. We may not be spared from pain or suffering or illness or loss here in this world, but one thing's for sure, by God's grace, we get through all of that. We have the strength of God as his strength is made perfect in weakness, and God is glorified as we remain faithful to him, drawing strength from him in this world full of afflictions. But because he will never leave us or forsake us, we know that after we depart this life, we will be with Christ in a world without sorrow, a world without suffering, a perfect world, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, conformed to the image of his Son, glorified with him for all of eternity. We trust God because he will deliver us in the end. Again, I'm Ben Winslet, thanking you for listening to Words of Grace today, inviting you to write and let me know that you received the broadcast, and also to tune in again next week at this time. Until then, may the Lord's richest blessings be yours, is my prayer.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.